In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Lately on the news, we've been hearing a lot about the ugliness of this world and the ugliness and the darkness of sin. Just in this week, we all watched the siege that took place in Martin Place. We watched a mother in Cairns kill her 8 children. We consistently see ISIS and their work of beheading people. We heard this week also of the Taliban killing 80 children in Pakistan. And so it's been a very depressing week, heavy on the heart, and it looks as if everything is ugly. And then today, in the Gospel, in the Psalm, it says, "Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear, forget your own people also and your father's house, so the king will greatly desire your beauty." The king will greatly desire your beauty. And of course, this psalm was put in place because today we are reading the Gospel reading of the Annunciation, that our Lord Jesus Christ looked down upon earth and tried to choose one woman that he would come from. And so he chose the most beautiful woman in all of history. You know, since the time of Adam till St. Mary was about 4,000 years. Christ waited 4,000 years to come to earth until he found the most beautiful woman, and that most beautiful woman was St. Mary. Even if you look to her icons, you find and you see how beautiful she is. Look at any icon of St. Mary and she looks extremely beautiful. St. Mary of Egypt, who was a sinner and converted to Christianity, her conversion story starts by looking at an icon of St. Mary. Her story says that she said, "I looked up at the icon of the Theotokos, and the purity of her complexion put me to shame. The purity of her complexion put me to shame." And so today, the church puts this psalm, "The king has desired your beauty." He desired the beauty of St. Mary, and so he took her and chose to come through St. Mary. The problem of this world is that there is so much ugliness. When God looks down upon the earth and sees everything that's happening and sees ugliness, he says, "I desire your beauty. I wish that you'd be beautiful. I want to come into you. Please be beautiful." And so we often spend a lot of our time on earth beautifying ourselves. Every day we wake up, girls go through an ordeal that consists of makeup, straightening their hair, doing all sorts of wonderful things to ensure that they are beautiful. And men get up and shave their beards, spend hours and hours every week in the gym working upon their physical beauty. And there is nothing wrong with that. One time in the history, there was a beautiful story of a saint named Saint Pelagia. And Saint Pelagia was a prostitute, and she was an actress and a dancer. And one time there was a meeting of bishops taking place outdoor. And as the bishops were meeting, Saint Pelagia was coming past on like a procession, dancing and parading herself, not dressed with much. And so all the bishops, as you would expect, sort of put their faces down and covered their eyes so they wouldn't look upon this scene of this woman. Except one bishop named Bishop Nonnus. And the other bishops that all hid their faces observed that Bishop Nonnus was staring at the woman. And they said to him, "Bishop Nonnus, what are you doing, man? Cover your eyes." And he said, "She's so beautiful. She has not spared anything to make herself beautiful for men. For men that come and leave in the same day, she has not spared anything to make herself beautiful. She puts us all to shame because she does this for men and we don't even do this for our true bridegroom, which is Christ. We don't spend the effort in making ourselves beautiful for Christ. where this woman makes herself beautiful for men. Later on, this woman was converted by the prayers and preaching of Bishop Nonnus, and she became a great saint in the church. But the message from Bishop Nonnus was that compare our efforts that we put into beautifying ourselves on earth compared to beautifying ourselves for God. Do we spend equivalent amount of time beautifying ourselves for God as we do beautifying ourselves for each other? So if we do like to beautify ourselves a little bit more for God, how do we do it? Well, first and foremost, we must look at the source of beauty. And the source of beauty is God Himself. As it says in Psalm 90, "And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us." Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And in Psalm 27, a lovely verse that says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And so in this psalm it shows us that the desire for God's beauty is found in His house, is found in His temple, in His church. And this shows us that Christ Himself is the source of beauty, and the beauty is to be found in the church. In the 10th century, the emperor of Russia, he decided to go shopping for a religion. He wanted to adopt a new religion for Russia. And so he put together a convoy and he asked them to travel around the neighboring countries and study the religions of the countries and choose for us the best religion, and that will become the religion of Russia. And so these guys in the 10th century went off and they studied Islam, they studied Judaism, they studied the churches of the West in Rome. And this is what they said when they came back. They reported back to the emperor saying of Islam, this is what they said about Islam: "There is no gladness among them, only sorrow and a great stench." And when they went to observe Orthodoxy, this is what they said: "After walking into a liturgy in Hagia Sophia in Constantinople, we no longer knew whether we were in heaven or on earth, and we know not how to tell of its beauty." We didn't know if we were in heaven or on earth. We walked into the liturgy in Constantinople to an Orthodox church, and we didn't know if we were in heaven or on earth. We were lost. And we can't describe to you its beauty. After that, the emperor was baptized, adopted Orthodoxy, and now you know that Orthodoxy is the most prominent religion in all of Russia because of the beauty that was found in the Holy Liturgy. And so, if we are after true beauty, it is to be found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, and it needs to be found in His holy church. When we come into the church, we don't know whether we're on heaven or on earth. It's like we're transported, and we know not how to tell of its beauty. If Christ is the source of beauty and the church is where beauty can be found, then how do we take on that beauty upon ourselves? How do we beautify ourselves with Christ's beauty? C.S. Lewis said, "We do not want merely to see beauty. We want to be united with beauty we see, to pass into it, to receive it into ourselves, to become part of it." We have to become united with this beauty, united with Christ. You know, in the story of the Transfiguration, when our Lord Jesus Christ was transfigured on Mount Tabor, what was shining? What was shining? Two things were shining. The face of our Lord Jesus Christ was shining. And what else was shining? Any ideas? Hey? His clothes. His clothes were shining. His clothes are some material. His clothes are not divine. But because that material was united to His body that was shining, His clothes also shone. And so if we're not mere clothes, we're humans. We're creating His own image. Imagine if we are united to Christ, how much will we shine when Christ shines and we are united to Him then we will shine with Him. And so it is our task that every day we show our beauty to God. Our life needs to be a reflection of God's beauty. It needs to refract God's beauty. We walk around beautiful. We were blessed for the last couple of weeks to have Amber Bullis with us. And I'm sure everyone would agree in saying he's such a beautiful man. Physically? Not really. He's short, he's chubby, big nose, funny beard. It's not how you define beauty. But you look at him, he's so beautiful. Everyone was gravitating around him. We took him to the airport and the youth were in tears saying goodbye to him because of the beauty that is shining from someone who is united to Christ. Every day we have a role and a task to live our life beautiful in the eyes of the Lord. Even in the work we do, in our day-to-day jobs, we can be beautiful. A monk, one time a visitor, was visiting a monastery. He was asked to wash the dishes. And as he was washing the dishes, he was doing it a bit of like annoyed. And a monk came to him and said to him, "You must wash the dishes as if you're washing and bathing our Lord Jesus Christ. Wash the dishes as if you're washing our Lord Jesus Christ. Do everything, even the smallest task, do it with beauty." After my first son was born, Jonathan, I decided to take him to get circumcised. So I asked Dr. Wagdi, who's the best circumcision guy. He said, "Oh, there's this really good guy, his name's Dr. Anthony, but he's a bit expensive." I go, "Don't worry about it, I'll pay the money, I just want to make sure he does a good job." And so I called the surgery. I said, "I'd like to make an appointment for my son." And the secretary said, "That's fine, but you realize it's $800. I said, "No worries, done." And he said, "Okay, you have to bring $800 with you." I said, "No worries, I'll bring it with me." And so I walked in on the day of my appointment. And the first thing the secretary said to me, "Did you bring your $800? I'm like, "Well, why is everyone panicking about $800? I brought my $800, don't worry." And I gave her the $800. And I sat in the waiting room. And then the doctor came out to take us in. And he saw me and he paused. And he turned to his secretary. And he said to her, "Give him back $800. And I went in and I said, "You don't want to operate? What's wrong?" He said, no, I would never take money from a priest, especially a Coptic priest. Take a seat." He pulled out from under his desk two books about the Coptic Church. He said, "I've just been reading these books." And then he minimizes his screen, which he's like patient list. He minimizes it and shows me Professor Clay on a sermon he's listening about Coptic monasticism. And begins to talk to me about the Coptic Church and is so intrigued. And I said to him, "You know what, I'd love to listen to these sermons that you're listening to." And he said, "When I finish with them, I'll give them to you. But I listen to every sermon twice so that I may digest it." And I was so fascinated by this guy, this doctor who's extremely successful. He's an Australian man, but deeply in love with God. Even while he was operating, he talked to me about the Coptic Church. I was like, "Man, just wrapped it on the operation, we'll talk after." And when he told me, I'll give you the CDs after I finish," I thought, "When? How is he giving the CDs?" It turns out, after a month or two, he came here to St. Mark's Church on a weekday himself and walked around trying to find somebody and found one of the youth sitting here and gave him the CDs and said, "Please give this to Father Mark." And so this man, he tells me that he listens to sermons in between patients and pulls out books in the Bible in between patients. He has made his day-to-day life beautiful for God. That what makes this man beautiful? His success, his earnings, his fame in this industry. What makes him beautiful is his relationship with God and his deep love for God. And so every day we have the opportunity to do something beautiful for God. A lady one day was radiating and looking beautiful. And so someone said to her, "What's your secret? Tell us your secret. How are you so beautiful?" And she responded by saying, "For my lips, I use truth. For my voice, I use prayer. For my eyes, I use pity. For my hands, I use charity. For my figure, I use uprightness. For my heart, I use love. For my soul, I use faith. For my will, I use obedience. Today is a call for all of us to beautify ourselves before God. As the Lord says, that He looks to and fro on the earth, desiring to find some beauty. When God looks down and sees darkness and ugliness in the world, may we give Him that smile. When He looks to us, He sees in us something beautiful. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.